All right. Hey, like I said, I don't have any notes, but we do have some scriptures that we're going to show you up on the screen. Tonight, we are going to hover in the book of Psalms. Three separate books that we're going to look at, or I should say, a part of the Psalms. So as we direct through this, before I get into that, I'd like to just address the obvious, and that is last Sunday night when we had all left, many of us were at home in bed, was when the attack took place out in Las Vegas. And I was alarmed. I didn't hear about it until I got in the car on Monday morning, that type of thing. And it's just very important that we take a moment and recognize the fact that that happened, but also pray for God's direction and how we respond to it and the direction that He gives us as individuals in a church. I will say a lot more about this Sunday, but next Tuesday is when we're regularly scheduled. The second Tuesday of every month is when we have Men of Claremore. We haven't had it in 3 months. We were in Houston for one of those times. I was on vacation another time, and there was, I forget what else was going on, so we haven't done it in 3 months. But we're going to do that next Tuesday. And I'm going to give a general invitation to everyone who would like to come that night, because we're going to talk about some specific things. Number one, we're going to talk about, you know, what happens in our church. What should we do? And I'm talking about logistically and specifically if we have a situation like that happen here in the church. It wasn't too long ago in Corinth, Tennessee, where somebody walked into the church and started unloading a gun. We should not walk around in fear. I'm going to go ahead of all of this, and that anything that Satan would love to do to us to create fear is just a tool. It's just something that he tries to do. But to ignore the obvious and to be diligent in everything, I feel like we would be negligent if we didn't respond. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what if we have a tornado that comes to the church, because there's a whole different circumstances with all of that. Last Wednesday night, the alarm went off. Do you remember that? The guys in the sound booth do. That thing's right above their ears, scared them half to death. So, you know, we were sitting here going, hey, you know, we had some men that busted through the door real quick. We investigated. Everything was fine. But really, we need to find out, hey, is that the best thing to do? Because we should not be sitting when there's an alarm that tells us we should be moving. We should know what to do, where to go. So we're going to do this as an overall thing. If you can't be on Tuesday, that's fine. But we're just going to make sure the church is aware of that. The other thing is we need to dive in a little bit more about where we are in the world, what's going on in the world, what God is saying to us through His Word, and what we should do as Christians concerning the fact that not only we have natural disasters one after other, there was Houston, there was Florida, now there's Puerto Rico, and then you have something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I both know it's not over. It's not over. So I'm not going to be an alarmist. I am going to say that we need to respond spiritually. We need to respond biblically. And without a whole lot of direction, we can speculate and we talk about a lot of things, but we probably will not be unified either in that reaction to those things or, like I said, just the physical things that need to happen if there's an emergency in the church. It's time for us to do that, okay? All right. Hey, let me take you through several places in Psalms real quick. I want to take you first to Psalm 17:1. It says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, and give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips." It's not going out of feigned lips. That word feigned, by definition, literally means to fake it or to pretend, to put on a show or whatever. David is saying, listen, I'm not faking it here. I need you to hear me. I really need to know that you're listening. And I think that every now and then, if not now, maybe another time, every one of us have been in this place where you just wonder, no, is anybody really listening? Have you ever wondered if God is really listening? Now, we're disciplining ourselves that we're not going to say anything bad about God. You know, when I was little, I didn't have the right to speak back or whatever. There were consequences for that. But that was probably more a physical discipline than the discipline that I'm talking about. As Christians, there's a conflict that goes on immediately. I love this God. He saved me. He went to the cross for me and all these other things. But then, when I don't understand some injustice, when I don't understand what's going on in my life, when I don't understand why I have to go through this and somebody else isn't going through this or whatever, whether it's a layoff or whether it's a disease, whether it's an accident, whether it's a rebellious kid, whatever, you know, why isn't God listening to me? It doesn't mean that I hate God, but I have to ask that question because that's the situation I'm in. And we find David asking that question time and time again. But we ask a question even beyond God. Have we ever wondered if anybody really understands how I feel? Do they really understand how I feel? Now, if you're wanting understanding, you're never going to get it. There's no one that is going to understand completely what you're going through. That doesn't mean that they will withhold the opportunity and the attempt to understand. You know, I've said it several times that I may have gone through something that you did by title, but I may not understand the way I experienced and the way you experienced are two different things. My broken leg and your broken leg were two broken legs, but that doesn't mean that I knew what you went through or whatever. And especially if my broken leg isn't current, but yours is. It's hard to believe that anybody really understands how you feel. So I want to just interject this that I've often said so many times too. I end my prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. It's a lot more than a habit. It's a lot more than just how I sign off. I do it for two specific reasons. And whenever I'm praying for somebody to get saved or I'm praying for somebody with a specific need, I let them know that at the end of our prayer, we're going to say this. And this is why I'm going to say this. Is number one, there's only one person who knows how you really feel. There's only one person who knows exactly what you're going through. And it's not because he has access to your privacy. It's because he is the only one who really has access to you. He's the only one. So I'm not going to be able to say, I know how you feel, because sometimes we get offended with that, don't we? And we don't mean to. It's just that there's no way you know how I feel. If nothing else, just the circumstances make us feel that way. So he is the only one that knows how you feel, but he's also the only one that can do something about it. I can be your best friend. I can walk hand in hand with you. I can throw money at it. I can try to spend time with you, but he's the only one that can change your sick body. He's the only one that can change the tension in your relationship with somebody else. He's the only one that can secure your future, and on and on and on. And here's what David says, hear the right, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear unto my prayer, because I'm not faking it here. I really need you to show up. Let me take you to Psalms 22 real quick. We're going to wrap this up in literally about 10 minutes, believe it or not. Psalms 22, 1 through 5. My God, why have you forsaken me? What a way to start some reading. You're going to go to Psalms for a little inspiration, and here David says this. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime. Do you not hear? And in the night season, and am not silent? But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Even though he is expressing what he's feeling at the moment, God, why have you forsaken me? Where in the world are you? Did not Jesus even say those same words on the cross? The Son of God said those words because at that moment it represented what was going on in that instant. But then what is he turns around? He begins to talk about the history. We got to remind ourselves that God has a history and he's pretty good. He's got awesome history. He really knows how to pull things out. And many of us would have to admit, I would have done it differently. I would have done it sooner. But I won't take anything for the way that God did it, nor the things that he made me become and the things he did for me and through me and to me through those situations, regardless of how that goes. Now, let me take you to Psalms 22, 6 through 8. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All these who see me ridicule me. They shoot out of the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. More, he's pouring out his soul unto God. The first time I heard this, I had a hard time really believing that it was okay. But somebody said, you know, it's okay to tell God exactly how you feel. I felt like it was an offense. I felt like God, it's not that God couldn't handle it. I just thought I was being offensive, that I was supposed to respect God. And I would never say anything negative to God. There's a difference between being mad at God and holding God responsible for things that he's not responsible for and simply asking the question of, please help me understand. But what got me there is the way I feel. I'm hurting here. I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. It sounds like you're not listening to me. But he's not talking that God has closed off his ears. Listen to what he's saying here. He's saying this is the way it feels. Let me take you to Psalms 22, 14 through 15. He says, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a shredded pot. And my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Does that just not sound almost rebellious? That this is the depth of his hurt. This is in the times that we won't be honest and we're honest to ourselves, but we won't be honest about the situation, is the times that a lot of times that we close ourselves off to what God wants to hear from us. You know, God doesn't respond to just really pretty rosy prayers, to just perfect vocabulary. He responds to the cry of the heart. He responds to the times that you're so tearful, you want to shout to heaven and not just, you know, plead to God. So it's okay to do that. I'm not saying, hey, you need to go do this. I'm not encouraging you to do anything different than what you've done. Many of us have been saved long enough. We exactly know how we approach the throne of grace. But if you're withholding the feelings that you have, God is saying, please give them to me. Over in the New Testament, he says, cast your cares upon me, for I really care for you. What do you think that means? That we're just supposed to, you know, give him the laundry list of things that are free? No, he's talking about the emotion, the feelings, exactly what's going on as well. And I'm not trying to turn you into a mean person, because none of us are in here mean. But it just means that we can be really, you know, transparent with him. Because this is a physical description of mental anguish. A lot of times what happens in our lives, what happens in our bodies, what happens going on, it takes an effect in two different areas that we may not associate with it, but it hits them mentally, which means your emotions, but also spiritually. That's why Satan wants you to think the worst of God and blame God for the things that are going on, because it's a spiritual dynamic right there that he's going to start using as a weapon. Let's go to Psalms 22, verses 23 through 26. You who fear the Lord, praise him. What a difference. And all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. This is the guy that was just pouring his heart out to God. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He is not despised. He's not turned his back. He's not uncaring. Nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. You and I both know that we only get half of the story. We only act on half of the story. But what David is painting in here is the complete story. At first he starts telling God, my God, what's going on? But I know your history. I'm a little confused here. You did such great things in the past, but this is what I'm experiencing right now. He adds to it all of this mental anguish that he's going through. But then he goes back to the truth that God still, you know, comes through on the promises that he makes to his people. We need to see that whole picture. We see it in part. It shows an incomplete picture, and we've got to have the whole thing. Now let me take you to Psalms 34 quickly, verses 1 through 11. I will bless the Lord at all times, David says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. A little bit different when he was saying, God, where are you? Isn't it? This is the part of the story as well. That may have been the way he felt, but this is what God did. And he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked at him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I love that word all. We like to read the words selectively sometimes and leave out the emphasis of some of the smallest things in there. All his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. Fear the Lord, all you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. No want. I like that part. And we stop and think about it. It's not just that God's going to make sure that you have something to eat and you can pay your bills. No want. No want in your mental circumstances, your emotions, your life, all of it. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know what he's doing here? He's exalting God. And too often when God comes through, we find, well, it's about time. And I don't mean that we really feel that way, but it's time to exalt him, love him, praise him for what he's done. Psalms 34, verses 12 through 14. Who is the man who despises life and loves many days that he may see good? Here's where he's teaching us. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. It would not be a bad idea if you took that verse of scripture and just hung on to it. And when a circumstance arises, that you quote that scripture before you respond. before you've had a chance to really completely digest it and decide what you're going to say, how you're going to react. Because the truth of the matter is, most of our opportunities that we have to take to ask for forgiveness is not because we responded to somebody, it's because we reacted. Maybe their voice got a little up, or we were upset, and we said things that we didn't mean and we didn't want. We could take them back. We wish we could take them back, but we can't. But right here, I mean, this would be a great scripture to just stop, memorize this thing. You know, forget counting to 10. Read this scripture. Trust, you know, keep your tongue from evil, lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Would that not change the attitude in a hurry? Let me finish with these verses of scripture here. Psalm 34, 15 through 22. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Sometimes we need to be comforted by the fact that God has allowed us to put human attributes to the way that he observes us. His eyes are on the righteous. His eyes are wide open. He's seeing. He sees it. He's not unaware. He's not clouded by anything. That's exactly what his ears are open to their cry. Our prayer, whether it's something subtle or whether it's out loud, you're in your prayer closet just crying and weeping, God hears all of this. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But I think there were a couple of times when I was a kid, I sure was glad to see my older brother showed up. Because when they saw his face, they backed off on me. I didn't have the power to take them on, but when my brother showed up, everything changed. And it was even awesome when my dad showed up. So, you know, here's what his face is there to cut them off from the ends of the earth. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. There's that word all again. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. That word contrite means sincere remorse. When we are hurting desperately, God is sensitive to that. Many are the afflictions. What are afflictions? There's bodily harm, mental or bodily pain, sickness, loss, calamity, persecution, loss of a job, indifferent relationships, you name it. Those are afflictions. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That word all keeps showing up there. God is going to take care of all this stuff. The last three verses, he guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. He is promising us provision and protection. Provision and protection. We need to remember all of these attributes of the Lord. It's okay in the moment to wonder where he is. It's okay in the moment to wonder how he's going to do this. But it's not okay to let everything that we know about him. That's why David said he pulled everything out of the history. He goes, wait a minute. God's got a track record. He's perfect at that track record. He is going to do this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And I just love the fact that he doesn't say, I'll take care of a couple of things, or I'll take care of what's convenient. I'm going to take care of all of it. All of it. That's where we need to really trust God the most. Let's end up with this last slide. He is listening. He does understand. He is true to his promise. He still provides. Now, I don't know who you lean on other than God. I don't know who's your best friend. I don't know who's your go-to guy. I don't know who's the first person you would call outside of going to prayer. But wouldn't it be cool if they had these attributes, that they were always willing, available, and ready to listen as God is, that they could understand to the degree that you knew that you wouldn't just be venting or sharing information, but that they would be able to understand and sympathize with you because they do indeed understand. And that if they've made a promise to you to never leave you, that they're going to be there. And the last one is that they are going to give what you need. They're going to be there for whatever it is. And I understand sometimes presence is more important than anything else. Any amount of money, anything that they could change or whatever. Sometimes you just need somebody with you. What if that somebody is the Lord of glory, the creator of heaven and earth? Because that's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. There's so much more that comes from that. His love that sent his son to this earth to die for us. His constant provision for us. He is there. That's pretty cool. And that's where it ends. That's where, in many ways, it's only the beginning. Amen. Let me pray for you before we dismiss tonight. Father, I pray for every circumstance that we're facing tonight. Everything that some of us, it's not just something that's happened lately. This has been with us for a long time. Some of us have circumstances that we have to face on a daily basis, and it will probably never change outside of a miracle of God. But I pray, Father, that our hearts will be in tune with what you say through your word. These are just a couple of great thoughts that a pastor came up with to have a little cheerleading circumstance and a little pep rally with the people that go to this church. These are the things that come straight out of the word of God that we trust, we believe in. We feel like it's infallible. It is written for us. So today, Father, I pray it's application to our life and it's rescue to our soul. Bless us as we leave this place. Keep us all safe. Watch over us. God, be with our country. Be with the people that are hurting and need desperately to be healed and to find the understanding we're talking about tonight. Because they are facing directly, many of them, in a concentrated place called Las Vegas, the evil that David was talking about. And it could be right there, but Father, we know that you want to come in like a flood and share and bless and rescue all this. We ask for all of the miracles that can happen out of this incredible tragedy. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You guys are awesome. You are dismissed.